Joined now by the MP of Acadie Annapolis, Liberal Chris D'Entremont. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Good. Thank you for your interest.
It's been a very busy couple of days for you with your crossing of the floor from the Conservatives to the Liberals. Can you kind of recap what this has been like for you and what went into this decision?
Yeah, there's been it's been a very difficult time. There's been a lot of thinking, a lot of research, a lot of soul searching, talking to lots of my friends and family of how we can move forward. And I felt over the last number of months that I would much rather be trying to help build Acadie Annapolis, trying to work on projects and getting funding from government and supporting moving forward rather than just being negative and talking against it. And that's where this comes from, where I think we can be more here in Acadie Annapolis. We can do more if we're a member of the governing caucus. So again, it wasn't an easy choice. I know I've disappointed many people, but I've also received lots of great positive comments from other people. So, we're going to continue to move forward to prove that this is the best move for Acadie Annapolis.
And like you said, you've been thinking about this for months, and obviously you've weighed the risks of crossing the floor. What has that process, been like for you? And what have you been hearing from your constituents during these last 48 hours or so?
Yeah, I think it's the bewilderment, I think, is what I've been hearing from people. They just don't understand how you can, in 1 minute, 6-7 months ago, run as a conservative under that banner and then change your mind and become a liberal. I look at it this way, is we're elected as individuals that represent an area, and people put their trust in us to make decisions on their behalf. And I made the decision on their behalf that there are things that West Nova needs to be heard about, and they were not being heard from the opposition benches. So it's going to take a while. It's going to take a lot of talking, a lot of trying to recap what has happened. I'm looking forward to being back home and trying to explain these things directly to people. But it has been very difficult. Social media, of course, takes a life of its own. There has been a lot of negative feedback from across the country, but it is the prerogative of the MP to do these things. And I believe that I did it for just reasons. It's for the riding that I've taken this on.
And have you been talking to the people that helped you get elected, that were on your campaign last year or earlier this year, I should say, and that voted conservative, that wanted you to stay with conservatives? Have you been talking to them and kind of what's been the explanation for them?
There's been much difficult to explain. We're still trying to get a hold of some of them. I mean, this did happen a little quicker than we had anticipated. So we're still trying to touch base with them. I hope at some point they will forgive me, but they know during the election what we were hearing from folks on the doorstep is that they like Chris D'Entremont and the work that I've done as an MLA and as an MP, but they could not vote for Pierre Poilievre. And that resonated in my head during that time. People that were progressive conservatives that I knew were supporters of mine throughout my career that did not vote for me. And quite honestly, it brought up that feeling to me as well, that I could not continue to support his style of leadership. And the negativity that continues to come from that side of the house is it just solidifies me even more that I've made the right decision.
So that was obviously important to you. How important was it to make sure that Nova Scotia was on the right side of government and being able to get funding and things like that for Acadie Annapolis? Was that something you were talking about as well?
Yeah, I mean, this budget brings forward a number of great initiatives in community building. Yes, it is a very large deficit that it's harder to explain, but on the other side is that this is an important time for Canada to go and try to build the things that we need so we can be more self-reliant. And those infrastructure needs vary from community to community. But in West Nova, if we're talking about wharves and airports and hospitals and healthcare locations, you know, it just goes on of the stuff that we've been forgotten about. So it's time to do some real work rather than sit and complain. And finally, really, is the fishery. You know, I've had a number of great conversations with the Prime Minister and the Minister that will continue the work that happened this summer to make sure that enforcement is will continue and be increased, and that when somebody does something illegal, that there will be charges laid on that. You know, we've seen more in the last 5-7 weeks happen on the water in St. Mary's Bay and surrounding area than we've seen in the last 7 years. So I think we're in a positive direction, and I have the assurances of the Prime Minister that we'll be doing even more to protect the fishery that's so important to us.
So you certainly believe the Liberals are doing a better job at that now, because I know in the past you've been very critical of the Liberals for the job they've done, DFO has done, in enforcing illegal fishing, especially in St. Mary's Bay.
Yeah, no, exactly. I still believe in all the statements that I put out, that the department and the government was not taking this seriously and had not been taking it seriously for a very long time. And what I've seen from this new minister, we've definitely seen a change. This government has taken enforcement seriously. And actually, we were just having a meeting at the Fisheries Committee, and we continually talk about the challenges that DFO has in enforcement. A lot of the problems that we have is the lack thereof, or the lack of the will of the department to actually enforce the laws that we have on the books. So we need to do more on that side. But again, I have the assurances of the Prime Minister and of the Minister that we're going to be increasing our enforcement presence in Southwest Nova Scotia to make sure that everybody is playing by the same rules.
And going back to this decision and the process and, you know, actually handing in your resignation to the Conservative Party and crossing the floor to the Liberals, many conservatives and you know, folks in the community, your former colleague Rick Perkins has been vocal on Facebook about this as well, saying this is more about the fact that you didn't get elected Speaker of the House. What are your responses to those claims from your former party and from folks there?
Well, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets thrown around, and it solidifies, again, my decision to move, the negativity of it. No, of course that doesn't bother me. Yeah, I made a play to be the Speaker or the Deputy Speaker of the House of Commons, and that didn't turn out. I tried and I failed. That did not have any position in this decision. The decision still revolves around the leadership style, not just of the leader himself, but of the people that surround him. They are not... They don't have Canadians in mind. They've taken on such an American negative MAGA feel that I did not recognize my party. I think, as someone said, I think it was Ronald Reagan said, you know, it's not that I left my party; it's the party left me.
So you feel that maybe they're being a bit too far right? Are you more of a centered? Is that kind of how you see it?
I'm a center. I've been a red Tory throughout my career. And I think many progressive conservatives that you'll find around feel the same way, that the Conservative Party does not represent them anymore.
We saw a video of you going into the Liberal caucus, and you were greeted there with open arms. What's this journey going to be like for you as now a member of the Liberal Party?
I think the journey, I mean, I have a lot of friends over there. I've always been cordial with many members of the House of Commons. You know, I think I'll have a lot of great partners to work on projects that are important for Nova Scotia and are important for Acadie and Annapolis. So, you know, I look at this as a positive step forward. You know, and I guess proof will be in the pudding, as they always say, is that we do have to deliver. So, you know, there'll be time, they'll take time to get moving.
And I know you mentioned during a media availability, I think it was yesterday, you were asked about others in the Conservative Party thinking of crossing the floor, and you said you'd let others kind of speak on that. But have you been getting that sense in the Conservatives that that could happen and possibly give Prime Minister Carney a majority government?
I mean, I know there's a number of Canadians that are not liking that style of leadership. But again, I'll let other members, if that comes along, for them to tell their own stories. But minds of that, I don't like the negativity. I don't like the way the direction that they were going. So it was time to decide whether I was going to deliver or whether I was just going to sit and complain.
And finally, what are some of the next steps for you, I guess, through this week with the budget, things like that? What are some of the things that you're looking at now as the Liberal MP for Acadie-Annapolis?
Well, I mean, ultimately, there's a number of projects that people are interested in, so it's sort of contact with them again. Of course, this week is Rivers Week, so I'll make sure that we remember those who have fought so hard to have this kind of democracy, and to work and meet with the folks that of course want to do exciting things for Acadie-Annapolis. So I'm looking forward to the next to the week to deal with some of those things, but also to continue to debate things that are important to build a stronger Canada.
MP Chris D'Entremont, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much.